بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This is our book 3, level 3 review session number 3, in which we are going to review chapter 3. And according to the proposed schedule for homework assignments, we're going to look at both the English key for each point, and then we're going to look at the English key, and we're going to also look at the Arabic text, whatever is mentioned in the Arabic text concerning these points. 29, 30. Okay, so the first thing we're going to look at is in the English key. It's quite extensive, and inshallah, it's summarized for the most part in the Arabic text. We're going to look at the English key in any case because of the importance of this particular matter. It says in this lesson, we're on page 19 of the English key. In this lesson, we learn the following. The passive voice. Passive voice, I mean, yani it's not the active doer of the action. This is in Arabic known as al-fi'l al-mabniyu lil-majhool. Al-fi'l al-mabniyu lil-majhool. Yani the verb that is built or formulated for the majhool. Yani that means the one who's doing the action is not being mentioned. The one who's doing the action is majhool. Yani literally means unknown. It could be that the one who's doing the action is actually unknown, or it may be that the one who's doing the action is merely not mentioned. Maybe known but not mentioned. Here's an example of the passive voice in English. And keep in mind that the passive voice in English is not exactly the same as it is in Arabic, but there are similarities. In English, they say, for example, the soldier killed the spy. So the one who did the action, the soldier, is mentioned, and the one who the action happened upon, the spy, is also mentioned. So the fa'il and the maf'ul bi are both mentioned. The spy was killed. Here, the spy, the one who was killed, is mentioned, but the one who did the killing is not mentioned. So the fa'il is not mentioned, but the maf'ul bi is mentioned. The spy was killed. This is the passive voice in English. In the passive voice, the subject is omitted. Yani the fa'il, the doer of the action, is omitted. And the object, the maf'ul bi, the one who the action happened to, takes the place of the subject. The subject, the fa'il, is omitted, and the maf'ul bi takes its place. Let us see how to express the same idea in Arabic. The active voice, al-fi'l al-mabni lil-ma'loom, where the one who's doing the action is mentioned, is known. For example, qatala al-jundiyu al-jasusa. So here, al-jundi is the fa'il, the subject mentioned here, and the jasus, the maf'ul bi, the one who, yani, was killed, is also mentioned. In the active voice, The one who's doing the action is mentioned, whereas in the passive voice, the one who's doing the action is not mentioned, rather, the one that it happened to is mentioned in its place. So, in Arabic you say, in the active voice, مَبْنِيٌ لِلْمَعْلُومِ قَاتَلَ الْجُنْدِيُّ الْجَاسُوسَ. Yani, the soldier killed the spy. In the passive voice, قُتِلَ الْجَاسُوسُ. Yani, the spy was killed, without mentioning who killed him. This is al-fi'l al-mabni lil-majhool, or the passive voice. Note that in the passive voice, the fa'il al-jundi has been omitted, and the maf'ulun bi, yani the jasus, has taken its place and has become marfu'un. And now, instead of it being yani maf'ulun bi mansub, it takes the place of the fa'il, so it becomes marfu'un, and now it's called the na'ib al-fa'il. So, what was the maf'ulun bi in the active voice now becomes the na'ib of the fa'il. It's taking the place of the fa'il, so it changes from being maf'ulun bi and mansub with fatha, it becomes na'ib fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. Okay, qatala al-jundi al-jasusa, mansub with fatha, qutila al-jasusu, marfu'un with dhamma. Here, al-jasus takes the place of al-jundi. Jundi is not mentioned, so the fa'il is taken out, and the substitute for the fa'il, the na'ib of the fa'il, substitute for the fa'il, takes its place, and also takes its i'rab of being marfu'un with dhamma. In English, we say the spy was killed or the spy was killed by the soldier. So in English, you can say it both ways. You can say the spy was killed without mentioning who killed him. And you can again say the spy was killed and then mention who killed him. This second construction, meaning the spy was killed and then mentioning the one who killed him, this second construction is not possible in Arabic. Either you say the soldier killed the spy, you mention who did it, or you say the spy was killed without mentioning who did it. One way or the other. You can't have it both ways in Arabic. The original verb undergoes certain changes when it is converted to the passive voice, to the mabniun lil majhul. The verb undergoes some changes. In the past tense, the first radical takes dhamma, and instead of fata, qatala, it became qutila. So the first radical takes dhamma and the second radical takes kasra. So qatala became qutila. The first radical takes dhamma, second radical takes kasra in the fi'l al-mabni lil-majhul, the passive voice. As far as in the mudari, the letter of the mudara means the letter that's added prefix to the mudari verb. The letter that's prefixed to it, the ya, the ta, the hamza or the noon, is called harf al-mudara. That mudara, prefixed letter, takes dhamma and the second radical, not the second letter, the second radical. Because now instead of having three radicals, we have a prefixed letter, the mudara letter, which has dhamma, and then we have the three radicals. So the first radical takes sukoon, the second radical, which would be in the mudari verb, which would be the third letter now, because you have a prefixed letter making four letters. So the second radical is going to take fatha. The second radical is going to take fatha. So for example, well, let's look at the examples. What is important here is, we'll look at examples for both. In the past tense, the first radical takes dhamma, the second radical takes kasra. But in the present tense, the first radical also takes dhamma. I mean, the prefix letter takes dhamma. The first radical takes sukoon, and the second radical, the middle radical, takes fatha. So the difference here between past tense and present tense is that the new vowel combination in the past tense is dhamma kasra. In the present tense is dhamma sukoon fatha. Dhamma sukoon fatha. So here they give us a past tense example and then they give us a mudari example. In the past tense, qatala, he killed, becomes qutila, dhamma kasra. He was killed. If the second radical originally had kasra, it remains as kasra. But the first radical still changes to dhamma, because we have to have dhamma kasra combination in the mabniun lil majhul. So shariba, he drank, becomes, it already had a kasra, so you don't have to do that anything with that. You just have to make the first radical dhamma. So shariba became shuriba. It was drunk. Something was, had been, somebody drank it. Samia already has kasra, so you just have to change the first radical to dhamma. Samia, he heard, becomes sumia. He or it was heard. Okay, so in the past tense, it's pretty easy. What changes is the first and second radical. It has to become, excuse me, dhamma kasra. If it already had kasra, you just change the dhamma and you're good to go. In the mudari, the combination changes to dhamma sukoon fatha. Instead of dhamma kasra, dhamma sukoon fatha. So yaqtulu, from qatala yaqtulu, he kills, becomes yuqtalu, he is killed. Yuqtalu, dhamma sukoon fatha. In the past tense is dhamma kasra, in the present tense is dhamma sukoon fatha. So if the second radical originally already had fatha, so the only thing you have to do now, that fatha remains and you change the first letter, the mudara letter, to dhamma. So we have the dhamma sukoon fatha combination. So yaftahu, he opens. Yuftahu, it is opened. It already had fatha, so you just change the mudara letter to dhamma. Yuftahu, it is opened. Yaqra'u, he reads. Yuqra'u, it is read. Okay, I'm turning to the next page, 20 of the English key, for point number 1. Continues, you know that if waw is the first radical, it is omitted in the mudari. See book 2, lesson 26. But is restored in the passive voice. Okay, let me stop here and make a note here. It says, you know that if waw is the first radical, meaning If the verb has wow as the first radical, that means it's a mu'tal fa'. It has a weak letter as the first radical. That's what they're talking about here. The first radical, if it's wow or ya, that means it's a mu'tal fa'. The first radical is weak, also known as mithal. So they're talking about the mithal verb here. So know that if the wow is the first radical, meaning if it's a mithal verb or mu'tal fa', that wow is omitted in the mudari. And they said, see book 2, lesson 26, where the mu'tal fa' or the mithal verb is explained. So in that lesson, book 2, lesson 26, we learned that wajada in the mudari, instead of becoming yani yawjidu, it's yajidu. Yani the wow is deleted. Alright? Now they're saying though, that wow though is restored in the passive voice. In the passive voice it comes back. So in the active voice you say wajada yajidu. The wow is deleted in the mudari. He finds. But if you want to use the passive voice, mabni lil majhul, the wow comes back and you have the Dhamma, Sukun, Fatta combination, yujadu, he or it is found. Same thing with walada, yalidu, the waw is deleted in the active voice. yalidu, he bears a child. But in the passive voice, the waw comes back, yuladu, yuladu, he is born. Now, here are some more examples of the passive voice. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Man was created from teen, from clay. خُلِقَ ضَمَّ كَسْرَ in the past tense. فِي أَيِّ آمٍ وُلِدْتَ. In which year were you born? يعني وُلِدْتَ. We have what? يعني the ضَمَّ كَسْرَ combination again. وُلِي. وُلِدْتَ. Mudari example, يُقْتَلُ أَلَافٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ فِي الْحُرُوبِ. Thousands of people are killed in wars. يعني from قَتَلَ يَقْتُلُ. يعني in the Mudari we have Dhamma, Sukun, Fatta combination. يُقْتَلُ. يَقْتُلُ became يُقْتَلُ. The first letter, the Mudari letter takes Dhamma. The first radical, in this case, the Qaf takes Sukun and the second radical takes Fatta. So you have Dhamma, Sukun, Fatta combination in the Mudari. Another example of Mudari, La Yuldagu. Yuldagu, Dhamma Sakun Fatta. La Yuldagu Al Mu'minu Min Juhrin Wahidin Marrataini. La Yuldagu Al Mu'min. Yani the believer is not Yuldagu, is not bitten or stung by a snake. Min Juhrin. He is not bitten from Juhrin Wahidin, from one hole or the same hole, marrataini, twice. The believer is not bitten from the same hole twice. And if you did it once, after that they get the point and they beware. That is, does not repeat the same mistake. Another example for the Mubari, لا يوجد هذا الكتاب في المكتبات. This book is not found in the bookshops. It is not found. لا يوجد. From وجد يجد. In the passive voice, the wow comes back. You have Dhamma, Sukun, Fatha combination. You, Ja, Do. The last example they gave here is Lam, Yalid, Walam, Yulad. This is one we're going to look at. Yulad. He neither begot, nor is he begotten, from the Quran, 112th Surah, 3rd Ayat. Lam, Yalid. Yani this is the regular Mudari form. From Walada, Yalidu. Yani the wow is deleted, but when you have the passive voice, the wow comes back and it became lam yulad dhamma sukun fatha vowel combination. Dhamma sukun fatha yuladu. A secondary point here, very important, or subsidiary point, if the naib fa'il is feminine, yani when you transfer it to the passive voice, if the naib fa'il, the mafulun be, that now it's taking the place of the fa'il and became marfu'un. If it is feminine, the verb should also be feminine. Yani the verb should reflect that it's representing a naib fa'il that's feminine. Yani just like a normal verb, yani huwa kataba. If the one who did the writing is a male, the verb is masculine. Hiya katabat. But if the one who did the action is a female, then the verb changes to indicate femininity. كَتَبَتْ تَا التَّأْنِيثِ The ta that indicates femininity. So the verb reflects the do of the action being masculine or feminine. The same thing here, when the naib fa'il takes the place of the fa'il, the original verb may have been masculine if the fa'il was a man or male, but if the naib fa'il is a female or something feminine, when the naib fa'il takes its place, the verb has to also change from indicating yani masculinity for a masculine fa'il to indicating femininity for a feminine naib fa'il. So if the naib fa'il is feminine, the verb should also be feminine. If the naib fa'il is also masculine, then the verb yani will just change its voweling combination to indicate the passive form or the mabniun lil majhul. But in any case, the point here is that the verb must reflect the fa'il or the naib fa'il being masculine or feminine. And they gave us some examples of the naib fa'il being feminine. It says, Amma su'ilat aminatu. What was Amina asked about? Here, Amina, in the original sentence, would have been the one who was asked. Here, Amina becomes the naib fa'il. It's feminine, so the verb also became, instead of su'ila, it became, yani su'ila would be, he was asked, su'ilat, with ta'anith, indicating the verb being feminine, because the naib fa'il, aminatu, is feminine. The second example is a mudari example, tuqra'u, suratul fatihati, fi kulli raka'atin. Suratul fatiha is read in every raka'ah. Here, suratu, is the thing that was read. It would have been the maf'ulun bi in a normal active voice, yani mabniun lil ma'lum, but here when it became, when it took the place of the fa'il, yani the fa'il is omitted, who read is not mentioned, but the thing that was read, now it becomes naib fa'il, it's marfu'un with dhamma, and because it's feminine, surah is feminine, so the verb has to be changed from yani yuqra'u to tuqra'u, because here what? The verb has to reflect the femininity of the naib fa'il. Another subsidiary point, if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, its corresponding raf or marfu'un form is used. And if the maf'ulun bi that now in the passive voice becomes the naib fa'il, if the maf'ulun bi was a pronoun, when it's replaced, when it replaces the fa'il in the passive voice and becomes the naib fa'il, then instead of the nasb form as maf'ulun bi, instead of using the form of the pronoun that's used when it's in the place where it should be, yani mansub, now we're going to use the form of the pronoun when it's in the place where it should be marfu'un. Yani is naib fa'il, and it should be in the place, yani, where it should be fi mahalli raf, because naib fa'il is marfu'un, but it's a pronoun, and pronouns we said are mabniyun. So we don't say it's marfu'un, but we say it's in the place where it should be marfu'un. So we use the form of the pronoun that's used in that position of raf. And this is explained in exercise number 7 of the main book. Any exercise number 7, which is on page 34. This is explained in exercise number 7. We're going to look at that in this review. We're going to look at the instruction to that exercise. So they give us a couple of examples here. قَتَلَهُمْ الْمُجْرِمُونَ The mujrimun killed them. The criminals killed them. In the passive voice, them, which was the mafulun bi, yani, in the place where it should be mansub, the them now becomes a naib fa'il, but it's in the position where it should be marfu'un. So we're not going to use hum, but we're going to use yani qutilu waw al jama'a. Qutilu, they were killed. Sa'alani al mudiru, the headmaster asked me, yani sa'alani, the ya al mutakallam here, corresponding to the first person singular ana, yani in this sentence sa'alani is the maf'ulun bi, so it's mabniun in the place where it should be mansub, but when we go to the passive voice and it becomes naib fa'il, now it's in the place where it should be marfu'un. So we're going to use the marfu'un form of the pronoun. Instead of the headmaster asked me, I was asked, su'iltu. Su'iltu, I was asked. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to mention related to this first point from the English key. And now, I just want to take a quick look. We should go from here for the first point to the Arabic dialogue, pages 29 and 30. I'm going to just read a little bit of it. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read a little bit of it just for the sake of time. On page 29, halfway down the page, if these lines were numbered from the top of page 29, from Jabir, says, Bala darasnahu walakinahu nasitu. That, if that was line number one, and you count the lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's where I want to read from, line 10. After Ahmed, it says, Al-Mudarris. And then there's a big space under Mudarris, that's line 10, where it begins with, Anta, Ithan, Pakistani. Isma'u, Ya Ikhwan. Here, in this dialogue, the meaning and the rulings related to the Mabni and Lil Majhul, the passive voice, are explained in Arabic. We just want to read that quickly. He says, Ashrahu al-ana qa'idatan nahwiyatan muhimmatan. I will explain now a qa'ida, nahwi muhim, yani a very important muhimma. Nahwi, yani linguistic qa'ida, rule. I will explain now a very important linguistic rule. He says, Al-fi'lu imma mabniyun lil ma'alum wa imma mabniyun lil majhul. So the verb is either imma mabniyun lil ma'alum, yani it's the active voice structured for the ma'alum, yani for being able to use with the fa'il that's ma'alum, that is known, that is mentioned. So the verb is either structured for the fa'il that's ma'alum, wa imma mabniyun lil majhul, or it is structured to receive the fa'il that is majhul, that's unknown or unmentioned. And then they give examples of each. Amma mabniyun lil ma'alum, fa mithlu, the likeness of it is qatala yaqtulu. That is the form of the verb when it's going to be used with the fa'il that is ma'alum, is known or mentioned. Amma mabniyun lil majhul, as far as that one which is structured for the fa'il that is majhul, that is unknown or unmentioned. فَمِثْلُ, the example of it is قُتِلَ يُقْتَلُ. And here we see that in the past tense we have the vowel combination of ضَمَّ كَسْرَ قُتِلَ. And in the present tense we have the vowel combination of ضَمَّ سُكُون فَتَّ يُقْتَلُ. So قَتَلَ became قُتِلَ, and يَقْتُلُ became يُقْتَلُ. Dhamma, Sukoon, Fatha. A very important rule here. يُحْذَفُ الْفَاعِلُ مَعَ الْفِعْلَ الْمَبْنِي لِلْمَجْهُولِ. The fa'il is omitted. يُحْذَفُ الْفَاعِل. With the verb that is structured for the majhool, the fa'il that is unknown or unmentioned. The fa'il, when you use that type of verb, the passive voice, the fa'il is omitted. وَيُحَلُّ مَفْعُولُ بِهِ مَحَلَّهُ. And at this point, the maf'ulun bi now comes to take the place. يُحَلُّ الْمَفْعُولُ بِي مَحَلَّهُ. The maf'ulun bi, yani takes its place, the place of the fa'il. وَيُسَمَّ نَائِبْ فَاعِلٍ. And it is now known or called the naib fa'il. Yani what was the maf'ulun bi? In the passive voice, it takes the place of the fa'il. And taking its place, it takes on its irab of being marfu'un, and it's now known, instead of as maf'ulun bi, it's now known as naib fa'il, wa huwa marfu'un. Naqulu, for example, qatala al-jundi al-jasusa. Qatala al-jundiyu al-jasusa. Yani the jundi, the soldier, killed the spy. In the passive voice, the al-jundi, the fa'il, is omitted, and al-jasus, the maf'ulun bi, takes its place. It's now known as the naib fa'il, and it is now marfu'un. Qutila al-jasusu. So in the original sentence, qatala al-jundiyu al-jasusa, yani maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. In the new sentence, qutila al-jasusu, naib fa'il, marfu'un with dhamma. And the mudari, the example they gave us, is yasma'u an-nasu al-adhana bi-wuduhin. The people hear the adhan clearly. Yani an-nasu is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. Al-adhana is the maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha in the original sentence. In the new sentence, yusma'u al-adhanu bi wuduhin. the adhan is heard clearly. Here, adhan, in the original sentence, al-adhana, the maf'ulun bi mansubat fatta, now takes the place of the fa'al, al-nas, which is removed. Al-adhana takes its place. It's now known as the naib fa'al. Its ruling is that it's marfu'un with dhamma, and the mudari verb, we see the vowel combination changing to dhamma, sukoon, fatha. The rest of what the discussion concerning the fi'l mabni al-majhul in this Arabic text, the rest of it is dealing with any examples of, you know, the past tense and present tense. So we'll skip that and go to the Arabic text. For homework, I suggested that we look at in the Arabic text exercises 3, 4. Exercises 3, 4, 5, and 6. And 7. I think I said 3, 4, 5, and 7, but we should actually be looking at 6 as well. It should actually be 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. You just want to look at the notes for those exercises, not actually fully go through the exercises. Point number 3, or exercise number 3, on page 32, says, تَأَمَّلْ مَا يَلِي جَلَسَ الطَّالِبُ. Look at this sentence carefully. جَلَسَ الطَّالِبُ. هُنَا الطَّالِبُ فَاِلٌ. In this sentence, طالب, he is the fa'il. Therefore, it's marfu'un with dhamma. And then they tell us that al-fa'ilu, when the fa'il is mentioned in the sentence, yataqaddamuhu fi'lun mabniun lil-ma'lum. So the fa'il, when a fa'il is in a sentence, it's going to be preceded by the verb that's mabniun lil-ma'lum. It's going to be used where there's a verb before it that's fixed, structured to receive the situation in which the fa'il is mentioned. So if there's a fa'il in the sentence, the verb form should be mabniun lil ma'lum. Second example, su'ila talibu. Same word, talib, but this time su'ila talibu. Here, talibu is not the fa'il, do of the action, but rather talibu here is the naib fa'il. Naib fa'il takes the place of the fa'il, so it's marfu'un. Naib fa'il yataqaddamuhu fi'lun mabniun lil majhul. So the naib fa'il, when that's in a sentence, it's going to be preceded by a verb that's structured for the majhul. It's going to be structured for the situation in which the fa'il has been removed. The fa'il is majhul, unknown or unmentioned. So the point is what? When a fa'il is mentioned, the verb that's going to precede it is going to be mabniun lil ma'lum, where the fa'il is known. The verb structure is going to be the structure that is used with a fa'il that's known. When the fa'il is not mentioned, but rather the naib fa'il is mentioned, then the verb that's going to be preceded is going to be the verb that's structured for a sentence in which the fa'il is majhul, is unknown or unmentioned. In exercise number 4, and we're not going to do the exercise, we're going to read the instructions. It says, لاحظ ابني الأفعال الآتية للمجهول. This is what they're telling us to do. We're not going to do that. But we're going to read the note. لاحظ. Note أن الفعل الماضية المبنية للمجهول يكسر ما قبل آخره ويضم كل متحرك قبله نحو كتب كتب. Notice that the فعل ماضي مبني للمجهول, that's structured to receive the fa'il, to be used with the fa'il that is unknown, majhul, unknown or unmentioned. This type of past tense verb that's structured for the majhul, yuksaru ma qabla akhiri, the letter before, just before the last, ma qabla akhiri, what is before the last letter is going to be yuksar, it's going to be kasra. Wa yudammu kullu mutaharrikin qablahu, and there's going to be a dhamma on every letter that has a vowel before that, before the next to the last one. The next to the last one is going to take kasra, and everything before that, any letters before that that have a vowel is going to be dhamma. So example, kataba kutiba, yani the next to the last letter ta takes kasra, and anything before that that has a vowel takes dhamma, kutiba. So we have the dhamma kasra combination. And then they have these exercises to do. We're going to skip that and go to the next exercise, number 5, on page 33. ابني الأفعال الآتية للمجهول يعني structure the following verbs for majhul. Here we're talking about the mudari, and this is the voweling combination that's used with the mudari. It says لاحظ, notice أن الفعل المضاري, that the mudari verb المبني للمجهول, that's structured for the فعل that is majhul, unknown or unmentioned, يضم أوله, the first letter takes ضم, ويفتح ما قبل آخره, and the letter before the last takes فتحة. So the first letter takes Dhamma, and the letter before the last, next to the last letter, takes فتحة. So for example, يكتب is مبنيٌ للمعلوم, and يكتب is مبنيٌ للمجهول. And if the first letter takes Dhamma, the next to the last letter takes فتحة. So you have the Dhamma, Sukoon, فتحة vowel combination. Then they have some exercises to do. We're going to skip that and go to exercise number 6. And I might have, in the original homework assignment, I think I missed this exercise number 6 because the instruction that I wanted to read is not at the beginning of it, so I missed it. But in any case, I think I may have corrected that instruction in the homework assignment that went out this morning. Exercise number 6, we're going to skip the instructions and go down to the bottom after Aleph, Ba, Jim, and Del. It says, بعد بناء الفعل للمجهول يحذف الفاعل. يعني after structuring the verb for the مجهول, بناء للمجهول, the فاعل is omitted. يعني the فعل مبني للمجهول, the فاعل is omitted. ويحل مفعول المفعول به محله. And the مفعول به in the original sentence now takes the place of the فاعل that has been omitted. مرفوعاً, and it's going to be, the نائب فاعل is going to be مرفوعاً. نائب فاعل is going to be مرفوعاً. ويسمى نائب فاعل, and it is called, is now known as the نائب فاعل. Okay, so this instruction is what? Is telling us that when we change from the مبني للمعلوم, where the فاعل is known or mentioned, to the مبني للمجهول, where the فاعل is not going to be mentioned, the فاعل is omitted, and the مفعول به from the original sentence takes its place, and it also takes on its إعراب of being مرفوعاً, and now it's known, instead of مفعول به, it's now known as the نائب فاعل. After this, we want to look at exercise number 7. One more important point that is mentioned here concerning this subject, and that's on page 34. It says, إذا كان المفعول به ضميرا. If the مفعول به in the original sentence, that's مبني للمعلوم, the active voice, if the مفعول به is a pronoun, أتي بضمير رفع ليحل محله كما يتضح من الجدولين التاليين. So if the pronoun in the original, if the مفعول به in the original sentence is a pronoun, then when we change the structure from معلوم to مجهول, and we change the structure of the verb from its normal voweling sequence to, in the past tense, ضم كسرة, as in كتب أو شرب, when we do that, the pronoun, the نائب فاعل, is going to be part of the verb. The نائب فاعل now is going to be part of the verb itself. And therefore, we're not going to use the verb, the pronoun form that we use as مفعول به, the نصب pronoun, but rather we're going to use the رفع pronoun. Yani the way the pronoun looks when it's in the position of being, when it's in the position, في محلي رفع, when it's in the position of being مرفوع. And they said this is made clear in the following two jadwals. These jadwals are quite lengthy, but if you were to take your time and read through them, and hopefully we already did that because this is a review, right? But if you were to take your time and read them, then it will become clear that what they're saying here is that you're going to see the marfu'un form of the pronoun. So I'll just read the first couple of lines. The first column on the right is the fi'l mabni lil-ma'loom, where the pronoun is mentioned. Sa'alahu. The pronoun is mentioned here. As the maf'ulun bi, the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun. Sa'alahu al-mudarris. So in the mabni al-majhul, yani you have su'ila, yani the the teacher asked him. Here you have he was asked. So now we have the pronoun in the rough position here. It is pronoun. It is a dhamir mustatir. That's understood to be huwa. And the second one, sa'alahum. The maf'ulun bi is hum. When we change it to the mabni lil majhul, we have su'ilu. Yani, instead of the teacher asked them, they were asked. Here we have waw al-jama'ah. This is the marfu'un form of the pronoun. Instead of hum, we have waw al-jama'ah. In the third one, sa'alaha al-ab. Yani, the father asked her. In the mabni lil majhul, we have su'ilat. Yani, she was asked. Here, the pronoun is the dhamir mustatir taqdiruhu hiya. She was asked. And we see the verb form, yani, corresponding to the fact that the naib fa'il is mu'annath. We see the mu'annath form of the verb here. And the last one I will look at, sa'alahunna al-abu. Yani, the father asked them, a group of women or girls. Here in the mabni lil majhul form, we have su'ilna, yani, noon and niswa, yani, the marfu'un form, the rough form, yani, where the pronoun is in the position where it should be marfu'un, yani, fi mahalli raf. And then you can look at the rest of them to the end, yani, you see that the pronoun is the rough form. It changed from ka to su'ilta, from kum to su'iltum, from ki to su'ilti, from kunna to su'iltunna, from sa'alani, from ya'al mutakallam to su'iltu, sa'alana, su'ilna. Alright? And the same thing with the pronouns in the mudari form. Yes, aluhu, yani, under the jadwal ba, yes, aluhu al mudarrisu. Yes, aluhu. Who is the, yani, maf'ulun bi? When we change it to mabni al majhul, we have yus'alu. Yani, he was asked, or he is being asked. Yani, here, the pronoun is dhamir mustatir taqdiruhu huwa, and the second one will stop with this, yas'aluhum al-mudarris, yani, the teacher is asking them, hum, in the mabni lil majhul form, we have yus'aluna, they are being asked, and we have here the rough pronoun, waw al-jama'ah, and tus'alu, it's dhamir mustatir, and yus'alna, noon, yani the noon and niswa, and so on. Yani you have five cases which is going to be dhamir mustatir, and the other cases is going to be two of them waw al-jama'ah, two of them noon and niswa, and one ya al-mukhataba, yani for the second person, feminine singular corresponding to anti. Yes, alu ki al-ab became tus'alina. Yani here, the ya and tus'alina, that's ya al-mukhataba, that's the pronoun, yani the naib fa'il as the pronoun, fi mahalli raf, in the place where it should be marfu'. Okay, so that's what we wanted to mention in reference to the mabni lil majhul. Okay, so that's quite lengthy. That whole discussion is quite lengthy. And now we'll look at the remaining points, which are not so many. Let me look at the time. Okay, we have time. Good, alhamdulillah. Plenty of time. Okay, so the second point in the English key is on page 20. Second point in the English key is page 20. And it says here, on page 20, bottom of the page, number 2 of the English key on page 20, I was born in the year 1967 CE, yani in the Christian era, as opposed to AD, which means Anno Domini, which means the Christians are saying the year of our Lord, yani the year that their God was born. So we don't use this expression, AD, because the meaning is kufr. But rather, the author is saying here, use the expression CE for calendar time, meaning in the Christian era. Okay, in any case, so the point here is that the example that he gave here, I was born in the year 1967 CE. 1967, in Arabic we would say the 7th year, the 60, 900 and 1000. We would say 7, 60, 900 and 1000. So we say wulidtu ama sab'atin, that's 7, wa sittina, that's 60, wa tis'imiyati, 900, wa alfin, 1000 lil miladi, of the Christian era. All right, so what we note here in terms of the numbers is that we're using the units, 7, and then the tens, 60, and then the hundreds, 900, and then the thousands, 1,000, in that order. That's the preferable way of reading a number in Arabic. But the point here in point number 2 is wulidtu ama. Yani ama, the word ama has fatha. It says here the word ama is mansub. Yani it has fatha, and that's because it's mansub, because it is maf'ulun fihi. That is a noun denoting the time of action. Yani maf'ulun fihi is a type, yani of a word that's maf'ul, like maf'ulun bihi, maf'ulun fihi. Yani it's mansub, and generally the sign of being mansub is going to be fatha. So we see ama. It is a noun denoting the time of action. An adverb is either adverb of time, as it is here, or adverb of place. Here it is adverb of time. So this is also known as dharf al-zaman. Adverb of place, dharf al-makan. Both of them come under the general title of maf'ulun fihi, meaning the place or the time in which the action occurred. It does not have a tanween in this sentence, ama sab'atin, because it is mudaf, and the mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween. Here are some more examples. Sa'adrusu al-lughata al-faransiyata al-ama with fatha mansub maf'ulun fi or dharf al-zaman. Sa'adrusu al-lughata al-faransiyata al-ama al-qadima insha'Allah. Yani I will study French next year. If you turn to the next page, at the top of the page, there's two more examples. Kuntu fi Makkata yawma al-jumu'ati. I was in Mecca on the day of Jumu'ah. We see that yawma has fatha. That's because it's maf'ulun fi or dharf al-zaman, an adverb of time indicating the time in which the action of being in Mecca occurred. On yawmul Jumu'ah. Yawma al-jumu'ati. And the last example, ayna tadhhabuna hadha al-masa'a. Where are you going this evening? And here there are two notes to make, is that the maf'ulun fi here, the maf'ulun fi is actually hadha, the ism ishara, and al-masa'a, which is the original word that indicates time, is a bedal for hadha. So hadha is in the place, yani, where it's the maf'ulun fi. Yani, where are you going this evening? But because it's mabniun, because it's ism ishara, so it's badal al-masa'a, which is the original word that indicates time, is taking the fatha, showing that it's mansub. But hadha is fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub, but it's mabniun, and al-masa'a is its badal, and as badal also has to be mansub, yani, because of maf'ulun fi, dharf al-zaman. I also in the homework alluded to this discussion coming earlier. Then in book 3, it came in book 2, in lesson 12, the English key on page 42. Point number 2, it says, Raja'a Bilalun. Yani in book 2, lesson 12, this sentence came and it was explained there similarly. Raja'a Bilalun Yawma Sabti. Bilal returned on Saturday, Yawma Sabt. Note that Yawma, in this sentence, Yawma Sabti is mansub with fatha. This is because it is maf'ulun fihi. This is because it is maf'ulun fihi. An adverb. Yani adverb here, dharf al-zaman. Adverb of time. That is a noun denoting the time of the action. And then they gave us more examples here. Sabahan, masa'an, kulla with fatha. Kulla yawmin and yawma al-khamis. So these were also further examples of the use of the dharf al-zaman wa maf'ulun fihi. That's from the English key. In the Arabic, maf'ulun fi. This is point number 2. So point number 2 should have been lesson 12. Key point 2. Okay. So there didn't come, nothing came actually in the Arabic text concerning maf'ulun fi. And so, yani, the extra note came from book 2, lesson 12, key point 2, page 42. Now, alright, so that's the end of what came there. in reference to that particular point. And the next point is point number three. Point number three is very, very brief. It just says in the English Key, page 21, point number three, certain proper nouns have alif lam, like al-hasanu, al-husaynu, al-zubayru. When the particle ya and nida is used with these proper nouns that have alif lam, the alif lam is dropped. So you say ya hasanu, not ya al-hasanu, ya husaynu, ya zubayru. Alright? And that's very, very brief. It's just telling us that proper nouns, when they are the munada, after ya and nida, if they have alif lam, the alif lam is deleted. Yani when you use the ya and nida. This same point is mentioned in the Arabic text on page 36, point number, or exercise number 12 at the bottom of the page. It says, تُحْذَفُ الْأَلِفُ وَاللَّامُ مِنَ الْعَلَمِ الْمُقْتَرَنِ بِهِمَا عِنْدَ النِّدَاءِ. يعني تُحْذَفُ الْأَلِفُ وَاللَّامُ, the Aleph and the Lam, yani from Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, Al-Zubayr, the Aleph and the Lam is deleted from the Alam, yani the proper noun, Al-Muqtarina Bihima, yani the proper noun that has attached to them the Aleph and the Lam, these two things. When they have Aleph Lam attached to them, a proper noun, then that Aleph Lam is deleted, Inda An-Nida'i, yani when the ya and nida is used, when that name with alif lam becomes the munada, when you're calling that person, the alif and the lam is deleted. Okay, after this, the next point, also brief point, or relatively brief, is point number four from the English Key, page 21. Point number four says, Hindiyun means Indian. This is a formed or a derived, or this is formed or derived from Al-Hindu, yani the country Al-Hind, by adding ya, yani with shadda, ya mushaddada, iyun, yani hind, hindiyun, by adding this ya with shadda at the end, yani you derive this form hindiyun. This process is called an-nasab. Yani, an-nasab, yani meaning extraction or derivation. Showing that something is extracted from or derived from, or it has its origin in, yani, for example, Al-Hind. Its origin, or it is derived from Al-Hind. So this is called an-nasab, yani ascription or attribution, connecting something to something else, and the noun after the addition of this ya mushaddada, the ya with shadda, the noun after you add this ya mushaddada is now called al-mansub with seen, not al-mansub with sad. When we say something is marfoon, mansub, or majroor, that's with sad. This is with seen, from nasaba, any ascription or attribution. This noun after you add the ya with shadda is called al-mansub, yani the noun that shows ascription or attribution or relationship or connection of something to something else. Note that certain nouns have irregular mansub forms, like akhawiyun, which means brotherly, is from akh. Here, in order to make this form the waw that's originally from the root of the word akh, yani from akha, there's a waw that you don't see in the word akh, but originally it had a waw, so that waw comes back before the ya with shadda. So akh becomes akhawiyun, and ab becomes abawiyun. Yani the same thing with ab, it's originally a, ba, and wow. You don't see the wow, but it comes back when you yani make the mansub form, yani the nasab form. So ab becomes abawiyun, as akh becomes akhawiyun, and from nabi we have nabawiyun. And the original word Nabi already had shadda, already had ya with shadda. And so a word that already ends with ya mushaddada, here we see that the waw is going to be added in between, yani at the end of the word, before ya al mushaddada. So we have from Nabi, nabawi. This is the English explanation of point number four. And we have in the Arabic text exercise number 13, page 37. Exercise number 13 at the top of the page, it says, An-Nasabu. Yani, the ascription or attribution form, it says, Ilhaqu ya'in mushaddadatin fi akhir al-ism li tadulla ala nisbatihi. Li tadulla ala nisbatihi. Yani, adding ilhaq, the ya al-mushaddada, to the end of a noun, is for the purpose of indicating nisbatihi, ala nisbatihi, yani attribution or ascription, yani that something is attributed or ascribed or connected or has a relationship with something else. So from al-hind, you have hindiyun. That means that this thing is Indian, yani Indian clothing, Indian food, or an Indian person. Hindiyun. Al-Iraq, from Iraq you have iraqiyun. And then they have an exercise where we have to formulate some of them. So we have As-Sudan, from As-Sudan, Sudaniyun. From Al-Yaban, Yabaniyun. From An-Nahwu, yani grammar, you have Nahwiyun, which means a grammarian or a grammatical point. From Al-Kuwait, you have Kuwaitiyun. From Ad-Din, religion, you have Diniyun, something that's religious. From At-Tariq, history, you have Tariqiyun. Any something that is historical, a historical document, or so on. And of course, we already had from An-Nabi, you have Nabawi, and from Al-Akh, Akhawi, and from Abawi. So this is the end of this discussion concerning An-Nasab. The next point in the English key is point number 5 on page 21. Ukharu, ukharu. The word ukharu is the plural of ukhra. Ukharu is the plural, and ukhra is the singular, which means another. It is a diptote. The plural of the masculine form, yani the singular is of ukhra, its masculine singular is akharu, and its plural is akharuna. So you have akhar and plural akharuna. For feminine, you have ukhra and its plural ukharu. Ukharu is the plural of ukhra, the feminine form of akha, which means another. And then they give us some examples. I guess we can look at the examples quickly. Ghaba al-yawma mafoolun fi bilalun wa talibun akhar, and another student. Ghaba al-yawma, the next sentence, ghaba al-yawma bilalun wa tullabun akharuna. Tullabun akharuna, and other students. Yani akharuna, the plural of akhar. Feminine, singular, and plural. غابت زينب وطالبة أخرى. طالبة أخرى, another female student. أخرى is the singular feminine form of آخر. غابت زينب وطالبات أخرى. يعني طالبات أخرى, يعني other female students. يعني أخرى being the plural of أخرى. Then they gave us the example in the Quran, second surah, 184th ayah. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى. Then, but whoever of you is sick or on a journey must fast the same number of other days. أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى, other days. Here they made a note that أَيَّام is an irrational noun. Yani, since ayyam is an irrational noun, the singular ukhra can also be used here with it. Yani, it's possible to say al-fanadiqu ghaliyatun hadhihi al-ayyam walakinaha rakhisun fi ayyamin ukhra. Yani, with ayyam, even though it's a plural, it's a ghayra aqil plural, so therefore we can use the not to describe it, that singular ukhra. But in the Quran it came ukhra, which is the plural of ukhra. The point is that for the word ayyam, since it is a ghayra aqil plural, yani can be described with a not that's feminine singular. It's generally treated as though it's feminine singular. So we could have used yani ukhra to describe ayyam, but since this is the Quran, then we're going to leave it just as it is. We're going to leave it as the plural ayyamin ukhra, yani the plural of ukhra. The next point, I'm sorry, this is that's for the point number 5 from the English key, and this same point is mentioned on page of the Arabic text, page 37. exercise number 15. Just briefly, it says, أُخَرُ جَمْعُ أُخْرَى. It's the plural of أُخْرَى. وَهِيَ مَمْنُوعٌ مِنَ الصَّرْفِ. And this word, أُخَرُ, is مَمْنُوعٌ مِنَ الصَّرْفِ. And I want to emphasize that. I didn't emphasize when reading in the English. But أُخَرُ, you see it doesn't have تَنْوِين. And that's because it is مَمْنُوعٌ مِنَ الصَّرْفِ. And then they gave us the same example from the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, 184, أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَى. أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَى. And here we should note, and I didn't note it in the English reading as well, yani that أُخَرَ is a not describing أَيَّام. أَيَّام is مَجْرُوع with كَسْرَة. And أُخَرَ, because it's مَمْنُوع مِنَ الصَّرْف, yani it's a not, so it also has to be مَجْرُوع, like the مَنْعُوت that it's describing, but because it's مَمْنُوع مِنَ الصَّرْف, any words that are ممنوع من الصرف, when they are مجرور, instead of taking كسرة, they take فتحة. Alright, so this is what we wanted to say for this word أخر. And the next point is point number 6 of the English key on page 22. And in the Arabic text, it's exercise 19 on page 38 and 39. It says here, صلى. He offered salat. Yani a person. Huwa salla. He performed salat. The mudari is yusalli. And the amr is salli. Without elongation. Salli. Yani lam with shadda and kasra. The expression salla bina. Salla means he prayed. Salla bina means he led us in prayer. Bina. Salla bina means the meaning of this expression in Arabic is that he prayed leading us in the prayer. That is, he was our imam. So, salli bina, the fi'l amr form, salli bina, means, if you're saying to someone, lead us in salat, in prayer, as our imam. This same point is mentioned just very, very briefly. There's no real discussion of it. In page 38 of the Arabic text, exercise number 17, it says, ta'ammal ma yali. And it just gives us these three forms of this particular verb, صَلَّى with alif maksura, يُصَلِّي ending with ya, and صَلِّي without elongation, the past, present, and command form. That's point number 6. Point number 7 of the English key is on page 22, and Arabic text is point number 19 on page 38 and 39. Point number 7 of the English key. There's no real explanation of this particular grammatical point. It's just telling us how this is used. It says, point number 7, page 22, imma wa imma means either or. Imma such and such wa imma such and such means either this or that. For example, al-ismu imma mudhakkarun wa imma mu'annathun. A noun, yani in Arabic, is either masculine or feminine. There's no neutral gender. It's either masculine or feminine. Another example, imma tazuruni wa imma azuruka. Either you visit me or I will visit you. Here I just want to note that the two examples they gave us are two of the possible meanings that are used with imma wa imma. Yani either this or that is sometimes used to explain the details of something. And it's called harf at-tafsil. And that is, for example, in the first example, it says the noun is either masculine or either feminine. So they're giving us some tafsil, some detail about nouns, that they are either masculine or either feminine. In the second example, there's another usage of imma. Imma says, either you visit me or I will visit you. This is called harf at-takhyir. Yani where imma is being used to give a person a choice. And in the first example, there's no choice. The noun is, yani, either masculine or feminine. But here, a person is getting a choice. Either you visit me, you have a choice. Either you visit me or I'm going to visit you. So here's a second type of use of imma. Imma, sometimes it's used just to explain the details of something, this or that. Or sometimes it's used to show that a person has a choice to do either this or that. And sometimes it may be also used for, yani, shek, doubt. A person is not sure. I saw him last week, either on Monday or Tuesday. Yani, I'm not really sure. So, imma wa imma, it means either or, but it can be used in different types of situations. Sometimes it's just for explaining the details of something, tafsil. Sometimes it's for choice, takhyir, where you have a choice. And sometimes it's for shek, with his doubt, and there are also other uses of it. So this is point number 7 from the English key in the Arabic text. It's exercise 19 on the bottom of page 38 and the top of page 39. And there's nothing really in the Arabic text that gives us any more detail. It just says imma wa imma. Al-ism fi al-lughah al-arabiyyah imma mudhakkarun wa imma mu'annathun. And the noun in Arabic language is either masculine or feminine. And again, this is here, yani, an example of imma wa imma being used for tafsil, to give the details of something. Sometimes it may be used to show that there's a choice between doing one thing or another, and sometimes it may also be used, yani, for to show that there's some doubt. Here they gave us that example. That's the first example they gave for imma wa imma. And that is, yani, imma wa imma, that's tafsil. The second example, imma tazuruni wa imma azuruka, is takhyir, yani, you have a choice to either visit me or I will visit you. And then it says, the third example they gave us is Ibrahimu imma maridun wa imma musafirun. Yani, Ibrahim is either sick or he is traveling. Yani, this indicates perhaps, yani, that the person wasn't sure. So this is another meaning that I said. Yani, it may also indicate a shek, yani, that someone is in doubt. I didn't see him around. So either he's sick or he has traveled. Or he has traveled. Okay, this is point number 7 from the English key. Point number 8 from the English key is on page 22. It says, for the I'rab of ثلاثو مئتين through تسعو مئتين, see the key to book 2, lesson 24. Okay? So the details related to this matter goes back to book 2. We're not going to go into the details now, but in any case, it goes back to book 2, lesson 24. In the English key, you'll find it exactly on page 78. It's point number 3 of the English key, and it's subcategory G. Okay, so it's book 2, lesson 24, page 78, point number 3, subtitle G, the I'rab of numbers. This is the lesson that deals with everything related to numbers, and from amongst the things that it dealt with, and point number 3 was the I'rab of numbers, and explains to us, yani, about these numbers, the hundreds, yani, from 300 to 900. Okay, so in the Arabic text, it's on page 39, exercise 24. It says, fi thalatha or thalathu miyatin lafdhu miyatin. Yani, the second part of the word, thalathu miyatin, is majrurun bil idafa. So the second part of this number, 300, 400, 500, 600, and so on, the second part of this compound, miya, is always going to be connected to the number in idafa. So it's always going to be miyatin, yani mudafun ilayhi majrur. Amma thalatha, as far as the first part of this compound, the number itself, 3 or 4 or 5, fayu'rabu bi hasabi al-amil. So its i'rab will be in accordance with the amil, the thing that is affecting it. The i'rab will be in accordance with the thing that is affecting it. So they give us 3 examples, Aleph, Ba, and Jim. In Aleph, they show us that the amil is going to make this number marfu'un, and in the second one, the amil is going to make this number mansub, and in the third one, the amil is going to make this number majrur. So the point is that the number, yani, it says yu'rab, its i'rab will be hasab al-amil, in accordance with the amil, and they give us 3 examples showing that it could be marfu'un with dhamma, mansub with fatta, or majrur with kasra. Indi thalathu mi'ati riyalin. I have 300 riyals. Here thalathu is marfu'un. Why? Li'annahu mubtada. Because it's the mubtada, yani mu'akhir, delayed. And indi is the khabar muqaddam. The second example, ba uridu thalatha mi'ati riyalin. I want 300 riyals. Here thalatha is mansub, لِأَنَّهُ مَفُولٌ بِهِ, because it's the مَفُولٌ بِهِ of the verb أُرِيدُ. So it's منصوب الفتر. And the third example, اشتريتُ هذه الساعة بِثَلَاثَةِ مِيَةٍ بِثَلَاثِ مِيَةِ رِيَالٍ. Here, ثَلَاثِ is مَجْرُور because of the بَا, يعني the preposition بِ, بِثَلَاثِ مِيَةِ رِيَالٍ. And here in each of these examples, Miyati is with a single kasra, not with tanween, because even though it's the mudhaf ilay to the number thalatha, it's also now a mudhaf for the word following it, rialin. And the mudhaf never takes alif lam or tanween, so in this case it will take a single kasra. The point is that it's always going to be majrurun. And if it's also a mudhaf, then it's going to be majrurun with a single kasra, otherwise it will take tanween. As far as the number, what is important here is that the number changes. It's not always going to be one i'rab, but it could be marfu'un if it is, as in the first example, the mubtada. Could be mansub if it's a maf'ulun bi, or anything that makes it mansub. And it could be majrur if it is the object of a preposition, and so on. Okay, so this is what we wanted to say concerning number 8. And the last thing that remains is point number 9 of the English key. Point number 9 of the English key is quite lengthy. Not so lengthy, and it's a little bit more lengthy in English than it is in Arabic. But in any case, so the main explanation is in the English key in this particular case. And again, this is a reminder of why it is important, especially in reviewing, that sometimes you have to look at the explanation that came in the English key as well as the explanation that came in the Arabic, because sometimes there may be some extra point or clarification or example that's mentioned in the Arabic that's not mentioned in the English, or that's mentioned in the English that's not mentioned in the Arabic. So, in point number 8 that we just finished, we see that the details and the examples of the i'rab of the word miya always being mudhafun ilayhi majrur, but the number changing its i'rab from being marfu'un to mansub to majrur, that's not discussed at all in the English key. Rather, the English key merely refers us back to book 2. But in the Arabic, they gave us 3 examples which show us, what is the thing that we need to focus on in the i'rab of this type of number. That the miya, the word miya, is always going to be mudhaf ilayhi majrur, but the number itself can be marfu'un with dhamma, or mansub with fatha, or majrur with kasra, depending on the amil. Yani bihasab al-amil, the thing that is acting upon it, making it to come as a maf'ulun bi, or as the object of a preposition, and so on. Okay, so in this case we see then that the English key doesn't give us any detail. The Arabic key gives us some examples that clarify some of the rules that we need to be paying attention in reference to this type of number. The last point, the English key gives us a little more information than the Arabic key, and so that's what the point is, that sometimes we need to read both of them together. The last point, point number 9 from the English key, is on page 22. And in the Arabic text, it's on page 40, exercise number 25. So let's look at the English key first, page 22, point number 9, halfway down the page. It says, Al-Yahud is a generic plural noun. 3 words, generic, plural, and noun. In Arabic, ismu al-jinsi al-jama'i. Ismu al-jinsi al-jama'iyu with dhamma. Ismu with dhamma, al-jinsi with kasra, al-jama'iyu with dhamma. And this indicates to us that al-jama'iyu is a not describing ism, not jins. Okay? Because jins is mudhaf ilayhi majrur. And al-jama'i, if it was describing al-jins, then it would be also majrur. So we say ismu al-jinsi al-jama'iyu. And here they translate it as generic plural noun. In any case, it is a generic noun that is plural. A generic noun, ism jins, that's plural. Generic plural nouns are of 2 kinds. There are 2 types of generic plural nouns. A, those which make their singular with ya mushaddada, iyun. For example, Arabun, Arabs, the singular is Arabiyun. The singular, Arab, is Arabiyun, means an Arab, an individual single Arab. The generic plural nouns are of 2 types. One, it makes it singular by adding ya with shadda. So Arab becomes Arabi, means a singular individual Arab. Turkun, Turks, means Turkish people in general. Its singular is Turkiyun, an individual, singular, single Turk. So Turks, Turkun is the generic plural noun. Its singular is Turkiyun, an individual Turk. For Englishmen, we have Inkilizun. Yani means Englishmen in general, and Inkiliziyun with Ya Mushaddada is an individual single Englishman. Inkiliziyun with the Shadda is an individual Englishman, while Inkilizun is the generic plural noun meaning Englishmen overall in general, all of them. Note that the ya, this ya in the generic plural noun in its singular form, this ya is not the ya of nasab, which we have learnt in point number 4 of this lesson of the English key. This is not the ya of, both of them is ya with shadda, but they have two different yani usages. The previous one is for nasab, means something is ascribed to some place. Yani to Hind, for example, you say Hindi, this is an Indian garment. This one is the singular form of the generic plural noun, meaning an individual single one of that generic plural, that overall group of yani jins or type of something, and in a single one of them yani is formulated, the word for it is formulated by adding ya mushaddada. We have to distinguish between words that end with ya mushaddada, is it nasab or is it ism jins jam'i yani, but this, its singular form. The second type of the way that the singular is formed from the ism jins al-jam'i is those which make their singular with ta marbuta. So the first one, the singular form is just by adding ya mushaddada, and the second one is by adding ta marbuta. So for example, tufahun, which means apples as a type, yani generally apples, yani that's the jins, that's plural, apples plural. An individual apple is tufahatun, just add ta marbuta. And as we learned a long time ago in the beginning, learning the alphabet, we know that from the rules, is that ta marbuta, when it's added to a word, the last letter that precedes it is always going to be fatha. Ta marbuta is always preceded by the letter that is attached to it. That letter is going to have fatha. So the letter before ta marbuta is always fatha. So tufahun became tufahatun, and shajarun, trees in general, the jins of trees, the type of thing called trees, which is a plural, means all trees, yani one individual tree is shajaratun, a tree. And samakun, fish in general, all fish, yani an individual piece of fish is samakatun. Alright, so there are two types of singular formulations from the ism jins of jam'i, the generic plural noun. It's singular, and some of them is formulated by adding ya with shadda, and in others it's singular is formed by adding ta marbuta, and you don't have a choice to use either one, but actually you have to use the one that they use. If Arabs used the ya with shadda for certain words to form a singular, you have to use ya with those words. If it used ta marbuta, you have to use ta marbuta with those words. So the second type, yani, is the singular is formed by adding ta marbuta, like yani tufahatun, shajaratun, samakatun. To understand the use of the singular and plural, the difference between the use of the singular and plural of the ism jins jam'i, consider the following examples. If the doctor asks you what fruit you like, you might say uhibbu al-mawz. Al-mawz is the ism jins jam'i. It means bananas in general. I love bananas, or I like bananas. And if he asks you how many you eat after lunch, yani how many individual bananas you eat after lunch, you say akulu mawzatan. I eat one banana. So when he asks you what fruit you like, you say bananas. That's the plural, al-mawz. But an individual banana, yani he is formulated by adding tamabuta. Mawza, I eat one banana. In the same way you say uhibbu al-arab, I love Arab people in general, the anna nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam arabiyun, because the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an Arab, an individual, single Arab. I love Al Arab, I love the Arab, Arabs, plural, because the Prophet ﷺ is an Arab, yani an individual, one Arab, Arabiyun. Note that the dual is formed from the singular form. Note that the dual is formed from the singular form. Arabiyatan, two Arabs, not Araban. And Mawzatan, two bananas, not Mawzan. In other words, if you want to form the dual, yani you have to add the alif, fatha alif noon, to the singular form, yani not the generic, yani the plural, the generic plural noun. Yani in other words, Arab means Arabs in general. You don't say Araban, two Arabs, but rather you go to the singular form, yani Arabiyun, and so the dual would be Arabiyani. And the same thing with two bananas, you don't say Mawz means bananas, so two bananas is Mawzani, because that would be the dual of the plural. But we want the dual of the singular, so the singular of Mawz is what? Mawza, Mawza. So to make the dual, you say Mawza, Mawzatani. The Ta Mabuta becomes Ta Maftuha, and then you add the Fatha Alif, Noon, which is the yani ending for dual words. Yani Kitabani, Qalamani, Baytani, yani Fatha Alif Noon, or Fatha Ya Noon. If it is Majrua Mansub, you say Baytani, Qalamani, and so on. So the last, final point here, and we're going to stop with this, is that, yes, the dual from the generic plural noun is not formed from its plural form, Arab, and you say Araban, but rather it's formed from its singular form, Arabiyun, Arabiyan. And the same thing with Mawza, you don't say Mawzan, but you say the singular Mawza, Mawzatan. As far as in the Arabic, we're looking on page 40, exercise 25, it says, Al-Yahud ismu jinsin jama'iyun. Ismu jinsin jama'iyun. And again, we see that jama'iyun is marfu'un with thamma, indicating that it's a not for ismu. And jinsin is mudhaf ilayhi majrur with kasra. So, Yahud is ism jins jama'iyun. It's a plural, generic plural noun. It indicates all Jews, al-Yahud. Ismu jins al-jama'i. هو الذي يفرق بينه وبين واحده بالياء أو بالتاء. And the ism jins al-jam'i, the generic plural noun, it is the noun which يفرق بينه وبين واحده. يعني the way that it is distinguished between that plural and one individual unit from that plural, the distinction between them is either by ya, yani ya al-mushaddada, the ya with shadda, or by ta, meaning ta marbuta. So they're just telling us how you distinguish them here, and then they give us examples. Amthilatu al-ifrad bitta. Examples of its singular being formulated with ta is Yahud becomes Yahudi, and Arab becomes Arabi. And Romans becomes Rumi, a Roman. And Turk, yani Turkish people, becomes Turki, an individual Turkish person. And Inkilizun, yani Englishmen as a whole, becomes Inkiliziyun, an individual Englishman. Examples, yani of the formulation of a singular with ta marbuta, amthilatu al-ifradi bitta'i, examples of it being made singular by ta is samakun, fish in general. It's an individual piece of fish is samakatun, shajarun, yani trees as a jins, as a group, trees, plural. An individual tree is shajaratun, tufahun, apples as a whole group, yani an individual apple is tufahatun. And عِنَبٌ, grapes as a whole, just grapes, I love grapes. And an individual single grape is عِنَبَةٌ. Mawzun, bananas in general, an individual banana, mawzatun, and habbun, which means a seed or grain. Habbun, an individual seed or grain, is called habbatun. Habbatun. And here we can see between the difference again between these two examples that the Arabic is a little bit less detailed in its explanation, and it doesn't even mention the formulation of the plural. So it's really critical that we have read the English here in this particular case, because it contains something that's not even mentioned in the Arabic. In the Arabic, they gave us, though, more examples. They gave us a few more examples in the Arabic that were not given in the English, for example. But in any case, here this again shows that sometimes the Arabic has some details the English doesn't have, and sometimes the English has information that the Arabic doesn't have. In this case, both of them have something that the other one doesn't have. In some cases, only the English has extra information. In some cases, only the Arabic has extra information. In this case, English has some extra information in terms of the dual formulation, and Arabic has some extra information in terms of the examples. And this is what we wanted to cover for today in our review of lesson number 3 from book 3, level 3. For homework, I hope that I'll be able to send out the homework assignment early tomorrow. And in any case, any of the point is that what we're going to be doing for homework is we're going to be doing the next lesson, lesson number 4. I haven't actually had a chance to look at it yet, but in any case, and of course what we'll do is we're going to look at any of the Arabic text explanations along with the English key explanations, and I'll try to kind of give you the references for each of them so it's easy for you to go back and forth and read them together. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shabun la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone with ikhlas, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm. And He grant us al-thabat ala sirat al-mustaqim, upon His straight path, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-shafi' that He grant healing to our sick, and that His rahmah, be showered upon those who have passed away. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.